Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
Rick Warren has been invited to speak. Dr. Joseph Lowery, who has deeply contrasting views to Rick Warren on a whole host of issues, is also speaking.
We are challenging the inaugural committee's right to invite Christian ministers in. That is un-American. It makes those of us good Americans who don't believe in God second-class citizens. It's unfair.
But of course, we'd be delighted to find just the right pew for the Obama family, should they ever like to worship here.
Well, just because it seems natural doesn't mean it's best for you or society. I'm naturally inclined to have sex with every beautiful woman I see, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
I've come to this conclusion, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but that the full understanding of Christianity is going to take a full lifetime of study.
Well, we're back live with you on this 5th of January, a whole new year of Issues Etc. straight ahead. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in and two excellent hours of the program straight ahead today. Listener email, you know, you go away for, how long were we gone, Jeff? 2 weeks? It felt like a wink of an eye, a blink of an eye.
Actually, it was more than 2 weeks, wasn't it? Because Todd left on the 18th was the last broadcast day of December. So it was more than 2 weeks.
I wish I had that kind of time off. I was here most days.
Yeah, I know. You were every time, every day he called me with some little matter, straight from the office.
I don't know what he was doing.
Burning the midnight oil.
He was here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're gone for 2 weeks and you come back, we've already seen evidence here pre-show of how many things fall through the cracks when you're gone for a couple of weeks and then come back, from equipment that we failed to check to, for some reason, Jeff has no show sheets for me today, and there are a couple other things that were just completely forgotten. Not forgotten are our listeners. And the email tends to pile up over a couple weeks of vacation. We get more than we could ever respond to. I think you should understand that if you email us, we love hearing from you when you email us at talkback@issuesetc.org. However, if you want to get a better chance of response to your comment, your question, whatever it may be, you might want to call our comment line. We might have some of that here in the first hour as well. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384. That's the Issues Etc. listener comment line. We're more likely to get a response to that because there's just more email. And then when you don't respond to all of it, it continues to pile up and it kind of backlogs. We try to do as much as we can. We spend the whole first hour here responding to our listeners, either via email or the comment line. Lines are open today, and we're coming to you live this Monday. It's the 5th of January. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or you can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Looking forward to hour two. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is going to join us with war breaking out, bona fide ground warfare, not only involving the United States for the last several years, but now in Israel, trying to cut Gaza in two. We're going to talk about just war. Is there such a thing? Is the Bible categorically opposed to warfare? Or does it give Christians and governments in general the right to make war under any and all circumstances? We'll talk about just war. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest in the second hour of Issues Etc. today. 1-877-623-6943. Or talkback@issuesetc.org.
So what did you do over the Christmas break?
I traveled mostly. We went up to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, see the in-laws, as I call them, the in-laws, for a couple days.
More importantly, what do they call you?
They call me Todd. They're very nice people. They really are. And they put up with us for staying there for a couple days. Then we turned around, came back, spent one day at home. and got back in the car, this time with a cat, or a kitten, I should say, delivering this kitten down to my folks down in Fort Worth, Texas. And we drove down there, spent a week, and delivered the cat. And it was a harrowing trip down indeed. My daughter had food poisoning, and the cat, well, let's just say the cat ruined a perfectly good cat bed on the way down. And I'll just let you figure out how that happened. I had to throw it out. And once we got down there, all was well. Very nice being in Texas for a little late Christmas celebration. What'd you do?
Well, the same thing we do every year, go to the in-laws for a marathon 8-hour session on Christmas Eve. And very generous in-laws, Roy and Merle Huffman. You did good again this year. Thank you very much. I don't deserve you. And then we follow Christmas Day. My family's always been a Christmas Day. Best family's always been a Christmas Eve family. Christmas Day at the Schwarz, we begin with the Schwarz household, doing just our immediate family. And then we go to my mom's for like appetizer stuff. Then we open up presents, start another 8-hour marathon session Christmas Day. And that was about it. And we did see a couple movies. We saw Bolt with the kids. We saw The Tale of Despero.
Bolt, was it any good?
Bolt was, I'd say, pretty good. Pretty good.
You know, my daughter refuses to go see that because one of the characters is voiced by Miley Cyrus.
Yeah,
she just
Dara's too old for Miley Cyrus, isn't she?
Tweeners.
But Bolt, I don't remember because it was pretty early on in the Christmas break, but it was pretty good. Tale of Despero, enjoyed it. It's got a lot of good themes in it. It's not for younger kids. It's more, you got to kind of get the message that it's sending out. And then we tried to, every day we told the kid, if you're going to do fun things, you got to do other things. So we tried to go to the YMCA and exercise almost daily, run the kids ragged, preceded by reading comprehension, listening comprehension, and flashcards.
No.
Oh, yeah.
It's vacation,
oh, yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to keep those minds a-working, you know, and mine, too, you know. It's good for me, too. So I'm trying to think anything else exciting. Oh, my beloved Eversole Tigers once again won the Charleston Christmas Tournament at Eastern Illinois University.
That's a big deal, isn't it?
Won on a last second shot with about 4 seconds left. One, we were down by one and hit a 3-point shot. So once
you managed,
again,
you made it to the game, didn't get ejected from the field.
You don't even want to know what happened. You just don't want to know.
You haven't told me that.
What happened was the columnist from one of the papers up northern, wrote a column about me last year and didn't think that I would see it, okay? But, of course, it is the age of the internet. I saw the column. So here we are. We win on this dramatic shot. Everything's all good. And my buddy, Topoka, thinks, isn't that the guy who wrote the column about you on Press Row?
This is a guy last year? Jeff, you got to understand, folks. Jeff is the kind of high school basketball fan that is so notorious for his behavior when his Edwardsville Tigers are playing, that he does have columns written. There are people who blog about you after every game, who go on. I mean, I think there's like I Can't Stand Jeff Schwarz websites after those games.
No, people need to understand 98% of what I say is exhorting our team. I just cheer from start to finish. I'm like Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. I exhort the team. But, you know, I will occasionally, let officials know when they make bad calls and things like that. But anyway, so I should have been, celebrating the victory of this tournament. However, he points out that this is a guy. So I go down and confront the gentleman, the young lad, and it was.
No, come on. You were nice about it, right?
No, it was somewhat confrontational.
What did he say about you?
Lots of things. He admitted he made several factual mistakes in the story, to which I proceeded to ask him if he ever went to a journalism school or if he went to college, period. And then I proudly showed him my University of Missouri Columbia School of Journalism ring and asked if he ever heard of that J school. And it was, believe me, I've confessed my many sins I committed during that conversation.
You know, As someone who has had a fair amount written about me that is both untrue and uncharitable, you just got to let it. You got to let it ride. Got to let it ride. I guarantee you, the guy will. He'll write about you again, but this time he'll check all his facts.
Well, the thing about it is the teams in their area, they've got 50, 100 people like me. The problem is it's a two-hour drive for Edwardsville fans. There's hardly any Edwardsville fans, so I stick out like a sore thumb. And we're the biggest school in this tournament, so it's not just who we play against cheers against us. All the other schools cheer against us. They don't like Edwardsville. So I stick out like a sore thumb, but I said, you know, it's cowardice. You've got 50 to 100 fans from this one particular school in your circulation area. They're just like me, but you don't write about them because you're going to get heat. So it's easy to write about some joker down in southern Illinois, you know, that don't think anybody's going to read about. So anyway.
That's what they call him. They call him the Joker.
Are we going to get to any email?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
All right. This is Paul in O'Fallon, Illinois. Some email on some of the shows we ran during Christmas. New shows, I might add. Not previous broadcasts, correct, Wilkin?
Yeah. They were all brand new.
This is about our series on the Incarnation. He said, I just read your God in a Box article, and it made me think of the Incarnation in different terms. God can be put in a box, but he has to do the putting. Luke 1, verse 35. God put himself in the same box, tent, clay, vessel, flesh, in which he put all mankind so that Mary could put him in a manger box. Blessings you, everyone at Issues, etc., and Happy New Year. That's from Paul in O'Fallon.
Yeah, there was an article that I wrote some time back called God in a Box. It was a Christmas article, and playing off the idea that people often will say, I think largely out of ignorance, oh, you can't put God in a box. Don't limit God. Don't put God in a box. Well, you know what the Incarnation is all about, what Christmas is all about, because we're still for one more day in the Christmas season till Epiphany strikes tomorrow. And even Epiphany is all about the Incarnation, too, that the glory of God shines forth in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Jesus put himself in a box. He put himself in human frame, in the womb of the Virgin. And when he does this, it's kind of foolish for us to say, don't put God in a box. Don't limit God. When Jesus has revealed God to us in a very particular way that is, in fact, quite limited. In other words, God doesn't reveal himself to people in just any old way or in any way and every way. He reveals himself only through the incarnate Son, Jesus Christ. God in a box. When we come back, more email. We're coming to you live this Monday, I guess it is Monday, the 5th of January. Back live with you, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesztc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Jeffrey Schneider, Rodney Dierking, Jeff Muskoff, Dr. Richard Waller Jr., Keith Buckmiller, Daniel Zager, Kyle Bennett, Laura Anderson, Gary Wartz, and Xavier Sanchez. Thanks for your support.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out. Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, hey, Mr. Postman.
Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday, the 5th of January, back live after a couple weeks of rest and relaxation, traveling around for the Christmas holidays. Tomorrow on the program, I think we'll be talking about Epiphany, because tomorrow is Epiphany, am I right?
If I find a guest.
You'd better find one. You better find one.
Maybe people can call in and say who they would like to hear as a guest on the season of Epiphany.
That's fine.
Give them the phone numbers.
877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. And our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. In about 40 minutes, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is going to join us. We'll talk about just war, with war breaking out in the Middle East and a protracted war. Some people hoping it will come to an end with a new presidential administration on the part of the United States. We'll talk about just war in about 40 minutes. Oh, by the way, I mentioned the email before had something about the God in the Box article that I'd written several years ago. That's posted under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org.
We might not have any live listeners left, you know, after your Johnny Carson two-week-plus vacation. Nobody's probably listening live anymore.
No, I think people were listening because some of the feedback we were getting during those 2 weeks had to do with the shows that we spent hours and hours and hours pre-recording just for our listeners.
Yeah, but you posted a lot of them in advance of when they actually ran, remember?
Yeah, people don't have all the time in the world. It takes time to get to these things. So, I mean, we had a series on the O-Antiphons of Advent. We also had a series on the Incarnation in various books of the Bible.
Speaking of our series on the Incarnation, here's another email. William in Concordia, Missouri says, "Your series on the Incarnation was superb. It made my Christmas season much more Christ-centered. Thank you. I truly enjoyed just listening with my Bible open to Todd and his guests. I greatly appreciated the insights of theologians who look for Christ throughout the Bible. Though I enjoyed and learned much from these brief discussions, as I do from all your programs, it made me desire to hear more. I know you don't have enough to do as it is, tongue-in-cheek, but might you consider an additional program to talk your listeners through an entire book of the Bible? I found Daniel interesting, fascinating." That's from William in Concordia, Missouri.
You know, we tend to take the books of the Bible topically here on this program. I mean, rather than doing a study of a book, we will occasionally do this. Book of Revelation, we've done series on those as well. But we'll tend to look at Daniel for if we're going to talk about apocalyptic literature, you know, end times kind of stuff, trying to sort out the fact from the fiction. Or we'll talk about Daniel himself when he is commemorated by the church as an Old Testament saint. It's not a bad suggestion. And, you know, Jeff is just always anxious for new show ideas. Anytime you want to make a suggestion for new show ideas, we are happy to hear them. Let's see what Joe has to say. He's calling from West Bend, Wisconsin. Hi, Joe.
Well, Happy New Year, Todd.
And to you as well.
I was just hearing you talk about a guest to discuss Epiphany, and I always like hearing Peter Bender. Pastor Bender always does a fine job on your show.
That's a very good suggestion. Very good suggestion. Thank you very much, Joe. Is Joe gone? Oh, too bad. I was going to ask him why he liked him. Well, I know why he likes Peter Bender. Peter Bender has an excellent knowledge of all matters, not only in terms of pastoral concerns, that's where he really excels, but I find that the very best pastors make some of the very best guests. That's one of the things we appreciate about some of our favorite guests here on the program is their pastoral approach, they're knowledgeable, they have expertise, but they're able to communicate it in such a basic and simple way. So we'll put that in the hopper. Peter Bender for Epiphany. You might try and get
one vote. All right. We can still take more votes. You know, I still have, a little less than 24 hours to find a guest.
Yeah, 24 minutes is usually about the time frame that Jeff is working with. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. What's next?
Another email on this series on the Incarnation. Barbara, I believe in St. Louis. You guys did a really great presentation these many days on the Incarnation and all of the Scripture. Now here's what you have to do. Package it all together on a CD and offer it for sale and charge enough to make a profit. This would help the show, and it would make a perfect gift for my family and friends. I would even advertise it on my websites. My sister would listen to this. She is very ill and is not on the web or in a church. You could do this with all of your shows, but this was a particularly good combination and presentation of God's gracious gift to us. I'm just finishing Dr. Weinrich, who was stellar. I learned so much from the series. Thanks, Barbara in St. Louis.
Thank you very much, Barbara. We consider that kind of things. Of course, the factor here is time and our ability to fit it in with producing a live radio program every weekday. So those are the kind of things. Believe me, when we put together the series on the Incarnation, we're thinking about the future. We're not just thinking about, you know, getting several hours for when Wilkin goes on vacation. We're thinking about this being one of those things that we can bring back every year that we can offer to listeners.
Well, you know, Craig, our board op here, is the smartest board op in all of radio. He does have an MBA and a master's. What's the other one in management? Management. So this sounds like a marketing thing, neither of which you or I know.
Yeah.
The problem is our knowledge is limited in just about every area.
Yeah, I know nothing.
Craig's really running Lutheran Public Radio. I just hope he doesn't figure out that, so he asks for a big Christmas bonus or something.
Or sooner or later we find ourselves working for him. I think that's probably – although I wouldn't mind working for Craig.
No.
I wouldn't mind working for him at all.
No. He's a good guy.
He is a heck of a guy.
Let's see. Another series we ran during the Christmas break was the series with Pastor Will Wheaton on the O Antiphons of Advent. Jim in Deer River, Minnesota writes, I've been listening to the O Antiphons. They are great. Have you thought of putting them on one CD and offering them for a modest fee? I suppose if one were clever enough, one could do that for oneself, but I'm not. Maybe as a gift for subscribing to Issues, etc. Just a thought. That's Jim in Deer River, Minnesota.
Again, another great suggestion. And while we were putting together that O Antiphon, we were thinking about the future. We were thinking about those kind of things. That's why we choose guests like Will Wheaton to do these. Because, and people may not realize this, that series on the O Antiphons, the other series we did on the Incarnation, we spread out over, 2 weeks? We'd come in early, do a half hour here, half hour there. Pastor Will Wheaton came in one day and did 7 shows with us, one after another. Before we went on the air live, he came in and we did, 3.5 hours? 3.5 hours, marathon session, one show after another. He came in and gave us basically a whole day to do that so that we could have that O Antiphon of Advent series ready to go for the late December leading up to Christmas.
I'm surprised nobody's voted for him for an interview on Epiphany tomorrow. We've got one for Bender and nothing for Pastor Wheaton because he was on my mind.
877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org.
Here's another email on the O Antiphon series. Ellen or Elaine in Canada says, thanks so much for the beautiful and inspiring presentation with Pastor Wheaton.
Do you think if we were to hold that, remember when we had that contest? Was it last year, year before last? Favorite Issues, Etc. guest? I can't remember how we did that or when we did it. But we asked our listeners to vote on favorite Issues, Etc. guest. I dare say that Pastor Wheaton would be close to the top among our listeners in terms of favorite guest. And the great thing is he's so generous with his time. Pastors are busy guys. And to ask someone to come in and do a half hour or do an hour is asking a lot.
During the season of Advent.
Oh, yeah. And we depend so much on the simple generosity of pastors, seminary professors, various other experts, journalists, people who just simply give us their time. When some people think, well, you get them on and you're going to grease the palm a little bit. No, everybody does it for free. Everybody does it for free. Now, some of them do it because they consider it an honor to be on Issues, etc. Some of them do it because it's part of their job. But everybody does it for free. And what amazes me about this program, I was thinking about this toward the end of the year. You know, you think about things past, things future. What amazes me is the great breadth of guests. Issues, etc. really is a guest-driven program. I think that's one of its great strengths. Because anybody could do this, what I'm doing right now. Anyone can do that. Give them enough time, a couple hours with Jeff beating them over the head, and they can do this. But what makes Issues, Etc. as strong as it is, what we hear in these emails, is it's the guests and the topics that they bring. And it's all Christ-centered, cross-focused.
This email just came in from Dennis in Michigan. He says, we've been waiting patiently for your return, and we are indeed listening. I particularly wish to give you thanks for your show with Dr. Kleinig, John Kleinig, on Hebrews and the Incarnation. I was fortunate to attend Dr. Kleining's seminar on Leviticus at Concordia Theological Seminary. That's from Dennis in Michigan.
We should have done 2 hours on Hebrews and the Incarnation. That's the one segment of that series. And you can find it all archived at our website, issuesetc.org. That's the one segment of that series where I think, you know, you got a half hour to do this, where half hour didn't do justice to the book we were dealing with, because the book of Hebrews really is all about the incarnation. It's all about, in many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old through the prophets, but now in these latter days, he has spoken to us by a son. And the son isn't an angel. He is the son of God in human flesh. Since the children share in flesh and blood, he also shared in the same, so that he might taste death for everyone. It's all about the incarnation. That's what makes we really should have him back to talk about the book of Hebrews, combining the first email suggestion with this last one. If we want to do a book of the Bible from beginning to end over the course of an hour or so, it should be John Kleining on the book of Hebrews. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. We're going through some listener email, catching up on some overdue correspondence on this Monday, January the 5th. We're back with you live. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. In a half hour, Dr. John Ward Montgomery on Just War.
That you do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Germany is so worried about its declining population, they're going to great lengths to reverse the situation. A TV ad campaign has parents saying, "You drive us crazy. You scream all night. You wet the bed. Yes, you drive us crazy with happiness." The campaign is called You Are Germany and encourages parents to have children. Another ad is from parents of a child with Down syndrome. They say, "We're slowly starting to see the world with your eyes, and suddenly it all makes sense." Since the campaign began to run, Germany's birth rate has slightly risen. It's amazing to see a European country call having children a cherished matter of course. Not quite saying children are a blessing from God, but it's a huge step in the right direction.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Luke Fiskness, Ann Damon, Lisa Gray, Dr. Peter Karowski, Kip Horstman, Ellie Meitzner, Sarah Harrison, Jason Jones, Hannah Payton, and Emily Thompson. Thanks for your support.
Hey, I forgot this. You know what I did one of the days we were down in Fort Worth? It was the day that all the brothers and their wives got together for a Wilkin Christmas, Wilkin kind of Christmas. I tried to introduce them to my favorite beverage, to chelada. Now, down in Texas, you've got drive-through beer and wine stores. You drive straight through the store. It's not drive up, it's drive through. It's basically a garage with a door at either end that they open, and then on the sides they have all the coolers, and that's where they keep the beer and the wine. You can drive through, pick it up, drive away. So we were going through one of these, and I discovered, much to my chagrin, that the county that my parents now live in, now that they've relocated from Dallas to Fort Worth, is dry. Now, you can still buy beer and wine, because in Texas, dry means beer and wine. But you got to drive a lot longer if you want to get a glass of scotch. So I was kind of depending on chelada. So we're all sitting around the table, introduce my brothers. I got four brothers and their wives to chelada. None of the women had the guts to try it. And only three of my four brothers were willing. No, wait a minute. How does that work out? Three of the four were willing to at least take a sip. I would like you to guess what their assessment of my favorite beverage was. They all took
thumbs
a good
down
taste.
From Craig. Craig says thumbs down.
Yeah, they all found it completely repulsive, and they proceeded for the next almost about an hour to do nothing but just rag on me about it. So
you know what you need
were,
to
they
do.
They were offended that I'd even suggest that they even try this.
If you were a wise man, you'd be stocking up on that stuff, because AB is going to be, or InBev, or whoever owns them now, is going to be pulling that stuff off the shelves. So you need to like stock up for Armageddon or something.
Don't think I haven't thought about it. I mean, AB has a habit of putting out these things and then pulling them back, and you never see them again.
No, the worst was when Coke took Vanilla Coke off the market.
Yeah, I remember
for
you
like
were,
a year or
you
two.
You loved.
What's
Vanilla
the deal,
Coke.
Everybody? I mean, everybody was drinking Vanilla Coke, and they just took it off, and then they brought it back, and they were just teasing us.
Yeah, it creates
it's
a demand.
It's cruel. It's right. cruel. And people should be in prison
so
for
I'm,
actions like this.
What I'm anticipating is that, you know, as popular as chelada is, they're going to want to even broaden its already now vast consumer base, and so they're going to pull it out and take it off the shelves to build the demand to even greater heights.
Kind of like the cancellation of issues, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, look what happened there, for heaven's sakes. And, you know, there are a lot of people who had the same response at LCMS Inc., who had the same response to issues, et cetera, when it was on the air, that my brothers had to chelada when they tried it down there in Fort Worth. They found it utterly repulsive and were offended at the very thought of it. So, hey, to each his own. What's the next email?
Dave in Minnesota. I can't help but think that you folks have corrupted me, Dave writes. Put anything from Bach, Handel, Beethoven, Mozart, or Mendelssohn on my computer speakers, and I'm sitting back in total relaxation, taking in the beautiful music. I can Google pipe organ and go through an amazing transformation from the workday to sounds which send me to the heights of musical inspiration and delight. Then comes my downfall. Viva la vida. Your theme music. I came upon the videos quite by accident, but since I knew it was issues, etc., I just had to listen. So listen I did. And listen and watch, and watch and listen and watch. I found every single Coldplay video of Viva La Vida on the web. Well, maybe not all. And I spent an entire evening playing and replaying these videos. And when I decided I'd heard enough, I listened to them for some time longer. Was I addicted? Well, maybe. Surely? Gentlemen and lady, I'm simply not into pop music. Or am I? Thank you for issues, etc. I've been going through withdrawal over the Christmas season since I listened to everything as soon as it was posted in my Google Reader. Looking forward to January 5th when you will be returning to your regular, irregular schedule, Dave in Minnesota.
You know, we've heard more about that little tune you hear playing in the background there. That's me. I'm doing that. That just comes out of me. It exudes from me now. No, we've heard more about that little tune on this program. A pure lark having chosen it. It just happened to be the song that I heard it on an iTunes commercial, and then listened to it when I was running, and I thought, that would make some pretty good bump music. And it is addictive. You know what we hear most often from people is they'll say, we were just driving along, and all of a sudden we heard the issues, et cetera, theme music come on the radio. Yeah, right there. And they'll think, my local radio station's playing issues, et cetera. And then they realize, no, they're just playing Coldplay. Yeah. But I think we did contribute to the fact that I think Entertainment Magazine listed Coldplay as one of the top 10 entertainment venues for all of 2008. I think we contributed something small to that.
Or very maybe small. Not. Maybe not.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not.
All right, this is Lee in Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, I did want to say one thing. Jeff and I agree that one of the problems in the church, for as much good as they have done in the church, musicians in the church sometimes work against the purposes of the gospel. And I'm not talking about contemporary Christian music. I'm talking about kind of the more music snob end of the spectrum, where they it suddenly becomes all about the music. It suddenly that's why we use pop music, because it isn't all about music appreciation. You can hate Bach as music, not the content, but you can actually despise classical music and still be a perfectly good Christian and a perfectly good Lutheran. You can. It's possible to not enjoy classical music. Part of the reason we use pop music. And sometimes when church musicians forget that it's about the word that is supposed to be delivered by the music and think it's all about the music, then the word becomes irrelevant. Then they think, wow, just because we listen to the tune of Bach's St. John's or St. Matthew's Passion, that's somehow communicating the gospel. No, it isn't. It's just communicating very good music.
I'm not going to go in depth on my thinking about this because I'm saving for a producer's page in the forthcoming Issues of Such a Journal. If you ever allow me to bring it back.
You have my permission.
Oh, editor of Issues of Such a Journal.
You have my permission.
I've got a whole diatribe on this whole issue. Lee in Columbia, Missouri. Well, I'm not Lutheran. I'm an evangelical, non-denominational type with a bent toward the more fundamental end of the continuum. But I came across your program through a link at another website, and I've got to tell you, it's great. What a solid approach to a wide range of interesting and important issues. I just sent off an end-of-year contribution. Listening back through your on-demand programs, I feel a tug to explore further, but I wonder what you recommend. It seems that there are political and organizational issues in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and my non-denominational background already has me a bit on guard about denominational issues, but I find many of the Lutheran positions very appealing, enough so to make me buy a copy of Concordia and do some reading about the historical background. What do you say to someone who tells you, hey, your positions are interesting, tell me more? Should I check out a local Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation? That's Lee in Columbia, Missouri.
Okay, did we send him a recommendation for a congregation out there in Mid-State?
Yes, we did.
Okay, good, because that's where I would begin first. It's to find a solid Lutheran congregation with a solid Lutheran pastor. Not all of them are. I mean, we've had people who say, love the show, love this theology. They go to the local Lutheran church and they find it's more Baptist than the Baptist church they left. True story. So you can't simply walk into any Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation and be guaranteed that you're going to hear Christ preached unapologetically, that you're going to hear sound scriptural theology. You might walk into one and find one of those unfortunate congregations that spends most of its time aping the Baptists or the evangelicals or the non-denominational church. But few and far between, you'll find solid Lutheran congregations with their pastors. I happen to visit one, by the way. When I was down in Fort Worth, went to Messiah in Keller, Texas, where is it Glenn Hubel?
Yes, Pastor Hubel, yes.
And he was not there, by the way. He was on vacation. And I was sorry I missed him because we've had him on the program several times. And solid Lutheran congregation. So I would recommend a good one. He said he was reading Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Great place to begin. Great place to begin. But you got to find yourself a solid Lutheran pastor. Sit down with him. He'll be happy to do it. And start asking the questions that you have about Reformation theology. And any pastor worth his salt should not only be more than willing to do such a thing, but also able to do such a thing. If you find a Lutheran pastor who is either unwilling or unable, look for a different Lutheran pastor. Keep looking until you find one. 1-877-623-6943. It's Monday, January the 5th. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org.
Quick email from Mick. Thank you so much for your piece on feelings in the Christian life. When I first became a Christian, the Lord's presence was extremely strong, and as a result, I had wonderful emotions. I was consumed to get these feelings. Eventually, they subsided. For the last 2 years, I have focused on getting those godly feelings, and I see how that's a terrible mistake. When I felt great emotions like love and joy, then I thought God is with me. When I didn't feel them, I assumed he wasn't leading to tremendous anxiety for me. So I quested to get these emotions, constantly playing tearjerker Christian music, even drinking beer to have a merry heart, only to wake up with less emotions. It didn't occur to me that if we look to Christ, Emotions will follow, but if we look to emotions, we get neither. Thanks again for your show, Mick.
Yeah, that's very well put. I like that. If we look to Christ, emotions will follow. If we look to emotions, we get neither Christ nor emotions. Well, or we get a false Christ, one that is merely the figment of our imagination or the product of the inner workings of our emotional life. Well, what the emailer has described so well in his past experience is what we call a theology of glory. That is, attaching one's certainty to either the circumstances in your life or how you feel about God, then Christianity is distorted into your inner emotional life and not that which happens outside of you. That your disposition with God depends on what happens in Christ's life, not in your emotional life. We'll be right back.
Communication's never been as easy as today. And it would make me happy when you've gone so far away. You send me an email that says I love you.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Paul, Kurt Prenzler, Paulette Bonk, Janet Sullivan, Stephen Good, Christine Kempf, L.H. Cavill, Carolyn Brott, Bill Hansberger, and Connie Polert. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. In about 10 minutes, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest.
No, he won't.
Oh, he won't?
Crisis here at LPR. Just got the phone. He sounds deathly ill.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes.
Is he okay?
Yes, he's fine. He thinks he picked up some kind of bacteria during the holidays. So I don't know what we're doing next time. Any ideas?
Maybe we could do email.
Hey. We could continue to do email. I would suggest that you take up that epiphany idea and let's get it in before tomorrow. That's what I'd suggest you do.
That's not a bad idea.
Call a couple of
people.
We got
a whole
people.
Hour. You know, Montgomery's for a whole hour.
Well,
we have to fill a whole hour.
You fill the first half hour. Do I have to do your job for you?
Yeah,
fill the first
much.
Half hour, and then you can spend that first half hour finding something for the second half
pretty
hour.
Much.
Like you do every
but unfortunately,
day.
You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to turn email over to Craig so I can make some phone calls.
It's really not a bad idea. Craig, with all those advanced degrees, you should be able to read some email.
Craig, you go start down low where it says their name and where they're from, and then you read the highlighted things. Can you do that, Craig? All right, Craig's going to take over, folks. I'm going to try to find a guest here for an hour phone interview about 15 minutes.
This is actually nice because this gives people an opportunity to kind of see for at least a little glimpse of the inner workings of Issues, et cetera. And if Jeff and I sound calm about this, it's because my confidence in Jeff is supreme. It's absolutely supreme. He's only, I think, two times in 10 years of broadcasting together left me completely hanging when it came to a guest. And people may not have noticed it because he did it so carefully. But only twice. Only twice, I think, in 10 years. All right, what's next, Craig?
Well, he's never left me hanging, so I'm there with you.
And I should say that Craig has never left either of us hanging ever, period.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm flattered. Look at me. I'm turning red out here. Here we go.
All right, just read the email now.
Next email. This is Nick from Lebanon, Missouri. I've asked this question before and didn't get a clear answer. I've always been under the impression that heaven will be a sinless and pure place. So how did thoughts and feelings of jealousy, pride, and deceit creep into Satan's heart and begin the rebellion? Is the heaven of that time going to be different from the heaven that is to come?
That's a great question, Nick. I guess I've never really thought about that, but I'll venture the best answer that I can. First of all, we do have to say, and these are conclusions based upon what Scripture says, and Scripture says very little about the fall of Satan and the evil angels. It tells us very little whatsoever. Most of it is what it does tell us is incomplete. We do know that Satan is one of these beings, one of these immaterial beings, a spiritual being who is a creature of God. That's an inescapable conclusion because God is a creator of all things. Since God creates nothing evil because it's not in his essence to do evil or to cause evil, Satan must have, here's another inescapable conclusion, have been originally created good, as all things that God originally created were good. And here's where the ice gets a little bit thinner. The analogy now is between the fall of man and the fall of the angels. Were the angels created in a state in which they could fall? Well, obviously so, because some of them did. Are the angels today, be they evil or good, capable of kind of going, switching back and forth, changing sides of the street? No. Now the good angels are confirmed in their goodness, and the evil angels are confirmed in their evil, and never the twain shall meet. So here's the thinnest part of the ice, but I think we're still on ice and not floating in the water. That is, the state of the angels before their fall was different than the state of the angels now after their fall. Their ability or their capacity to will good or evil has been changed now after the fall. You say, when did the angels fall? Well, they fell sometime between creation and the first temptation of Adam and Eve. We don't know how long that was. Most of the theologians that talk about this think it was not a matter of years or months, but perhaps a matter of days or hours. And so the question is, I think the question lurking behind Nick's email question is, well, when we get to heaven, is there going to be the danger that either the angels or us will fall again? And the answer to that is unequivocal, and this one is not a question that is open for debate according to Scripture. The new heaven and the new earth that is coming for us, eternal life, is a life confirmed in righteousness because it's based upon the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. We will be given there totally in both our, how it's imputed to us today by faith, but also then in our minds and in our very natures, Christ's own righteousness. And Christ's righteousness is unassailable. So we will possess that righteousness that is Christ himself in its fullness. And there will be no longer any conflict. The sin will be done away with, no longer any conflict with what we will by nature and what we are now through Christ's redemption. Here in this life, before eternity, we are of two minds, of two wills, of two natures. We are both saint and sinner. But then the sinner is done away with in death, and then in resurrection, only the new man remains, confirmed in Christ's righteousness. So what was heaven like before? That the angels could somehow fall? We don't know. We're given to believe in the Bible that even after the fall of the evil angels, Satan, at the very least, still had access to God's presence. The book of Job begins with Satan showing up in God's heavenly throne room. He's traipsing around heaven for some reason. And in the backdrop of all of this, we need to remember that the Bible says one other thing very clearly about the fallen angels. Their condemnation has already been announced by God. It's already been completely confirmed in Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil, in his death and resurrection. Christ has descended into hell, as the creed teaches and the Bible teaches, to announce his victory there prior to his resurrection. And so we need not fear that somehow Satan's going to find his way back into heaven and mess things up when we enter that new heaven and that new earth. Remember the parable of the sheep and the goats. There are two eternal destinies. One is the fire prepared for the devil and all his angels, and the other is the kingdom prepared for us from before the foundation of the world. So we don't need to worry about that. As to the nature of the angels then, before the fall, all we can say is that somehow they were capable of falling and that some of them did. Did God plan this? God certainly knew it was going to happen, but he did not orchestrate it or plan it or cause it in any way. God is not the author of evil. Oh, one other thing I should point out, and that is maybe it has a lot to do with how we define evil nowadays. Sometimes we think of evil as a positive substance, that is, good is a positive substance, and then there's this equal but opposite positive substance out there called evil. Not so. The Bible presents evil as, how should I put this, a deficiency of goodness, a very powerful deficiency of goodness. It's an absence of something, not the presence of anything. Satan isn't evil because he's got some sort of substance attached to him that is evil. Satan is evil because he lacks fear, love, and trust in his true God, having fallen into sin. That's what sin is. It is a lack of fear, love, and trust in the true God. So it's not like Satan has something that God doesn't have. He lacks something that God has in its fullness. Okay, now when we come back from the break, do we got time for one more email in there?
It's kind of a fun one.
All right, go ahead, toss it in there.
This is from Beth in St. Louis. She says, I listen to Issues Etc. for about 2 to 3 hours almost every day. That's at least 5 hours out of the week, and I'm currently on November 14th and rapidly catching up. I was surfing through your website and looking at the pictures. She wanted to see the Chilada t-shirt and that hat that she'd heard so much about on the radio. And when she noticed some of the pictures talking about Todd being on Y98 here in St. Louis, I was wondering about this and wondering what kind of radio program this is. I work during that time, and so I'm not able to hear it, but I'm interested to know, is it a program similar to Issues or something else? Also, my husband laughs at how much I listen to your program. In fact, the other night, your commercials made it into my dreams. And she says she's almost embarrassed to tell us this. She had a dream that she went back to her home church and they were producing a play during Sunday morning. I was upset. A lady at the church started defending how people enjoy it and how they like seeing the plays and that it's told a good story, to which she responded very passionately, people need to hear the truth of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Sermons and services need to be Christ-centered, cross-focused. Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins and the sound of historic liturgy. P.S., she says, she saw Chilada at the grocery store today, and she says it was telling her husband all the stories that she's heard on the program.
But she couldn't sell it to him. She couldn't sell it to him. By the way, thank you very much. Nice to know that we're finding our way into your dreams, but it's really not the program finding its way into the emailer's dreams. To insist that your church and your pastor remain Christ-centered, cross-focused is not an Issues Etc. thing. I mean, we're happy to ride that bandwagon. It's really a Bible thing. It's a Jesus thing. It's a Scripture thing. It's not a peculiarity to Issues Etc. When we come back, hour two, straight ahead.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.